We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well, I mean, we kind of just, you know, wanted to see if Huntley could go and see how he was feeling. We kind of knew throughout the week that, you know, maybe it was a possibility that he wouldn't go. So, you know, once that started, you know, creeping in my mind that, all right, we got to be ready here, you know, just in case. It kind of preparation started early. Like, you know, every week I prepare like I'm, you know, like I'm going to be the starter, whether I am or not. So, I mean, we kind of had an idea throughout the week. And then once it kind of hit me on Thursday and Friday, you know, then it was like, all right, it's going to be a pretty big workload.
Everybody always thinks that they can be the guy. And it's always about seizing that opportunity when it comes. What was it like for you to kind of be unleashed a little bit and have that feature back workload and be able to get out there and play a lot again, really for the first time since high school?
It was nice. I mean, people were asking me about it, and I told them it kind of felt like a dream. Like it was like, and I got a little nervous every single time we went out there right before for some reason. Then I was just like, you know, it's just like practice. But it was fun, and I was really thankful for the opportunity and for the coaches to believe in me, and you know, really my teammates supporting me, and it was awesome.
How'd you feel you played?
I think I left some plays out there. I mean, I think. There's some plays I wish I had back. Some stuff I got to work on for sure. I think I played pretty good, but I mean, definitely, you know, don't want to be satisfied. And like our coaches are saying, and everyone's saying around the facility right now, the job's not done.
Was there like this is gonna be a weird question, but was there a sense of redemption for you in a weird way? Because I always remember the very first carry of your career was at the Glass Bowl, and it was a fumble.
Absolutely.
And I always felt terrible because I was like, Ty Evans finally gets his shot. And that's how it went.
Absolutely.
And then you redeemed yourself because you had a huge run against Toledo last year, and then you have a great game against Toledo this year. Is it just something about you and Toledo?
One of my teammates brought it up, like, before the game, and it was in the back of my mind already. And obviously I wasn't nervous, and like, oh, my gosh, am I going to fumble? But it was like, I remember this, you know what I'm saying? And selfishly, obviously the goal is to get a dub and win for the team. But honestly – in the back of my mind, I was like, I owe these dudes. You know what I'm saying? I owe them. You know, I can't go out like that.
I figure it's the competitor instinct that's always going to be something.
Right. Absolutely.
We've talked a little bit about what makes you unique as a player. How much work has gone into getting you to this point? Because obviously you can run, but you were so much of a receiver in high school. So how much work has gone into the intricacies of playing the running back position? And also the blocking that comes along with it. to be able to go out there and play a complete game?
I think, I mean, preparation, it's been happening since I got here, obviously. And like you said, I played a lot of receiver in high school. So the transition back to running back was not difficult, but it was just different. I had to obviously run with my pads. You run a little different when you're at receiver. You know, you're getting tackled by DBs and a lot of different guys, and now you're back in the box running against bigger guys. So I had to learn how to get my pads lower and keep pumping my feet when I get tackled. So it's like, it was just, you know, it's been a while. Like, I've been preparing for this for a long time. And, I mean, honestly, I went and played fullback and went into the tight end room a little bit for earlier this year. And I think that helped me a lot with my pass blocking. Like, you brought up blocking. I think that helped a lot, just my hands and footwork and then, you know, keep my pad levels low.
When did you go to the tight end room?
Just early this year. I know we were just finding a way. Obviously, Huntley's a monster. Will Jones is a really good player. So we were trying to figure out a way that, you know, we could get Ty Evans on the field. And I was accepting and down to do anything. So we talked about fullback and maybe blocking a little bit. I got in a little bit. First NIU, did some plays and blocked for blocked a touchdown for Huntley on a counter play. So, I mean, that felt good. And then, obviously, you know, with the injuries that we had to come back to running back.
Tell me a little bit about the way that you run and keeping your feet churning. I thought the most indicative run of maybe potentially your style or just, like, the way a running back wants to go is that one play they did not blow dead. And, like, everybody just moved with you for an additional 5 or 6 yards. I don't know if you remember which one I'm talking about in particular, but can you kind of tell me about that play and how a play like that comes to be?
Yeah, so specifically for that play, on the sideline before that series, my roommate, Clayton Cole, was on the sidelines, and he was talking to me from a defensive standpoint and said, hey, you're running the ball really well, but keep your feet moving. Keep your feet moving. Your feet are starting to go dead. So I'm all right. So during that play, obviously I get held up at the line of scrimmage or maybe a couple yards in front. And, like, it felt like the entire game stopped for, like, a second or two. And I'm just like, all right, I either keep my feet moving here or I just go down here. And next thing you know, I keep pumping my feet, and I fall for another 5, 6, 7 yards. And I don't know, it was weird. I mean, it was funny that right before the play, Huntley also was telling me before the play as well, like, just keep your feet moving. It's working out.
What else have you learned from a guy like Caleb?
Honestly, like, I learned more. Keep my pad level down, and then exploding with a one cut explosion. So, like, obviously Caleb gets the ball, he makes one cut and he's gone. He makes one cut and he's going north and south. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned from him is making one cut and going, then going side to side. You know, because you're a lot harder to tackle, especially at 240 pounds, going north and south.
Last thing, totally separate of the current Ball State football team, but I wanted to ask you about before I let you go. We talked before the season started a little bit about the athleticism in your family and your dad. I did not ask you about your grandfather. So what is it like growing up with a grandfather who played in the NFL? And did you get any stories and things like that as a kid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a little bit of stories. A lot of them are hard to remember. I know that a lot of the things that he told me was just a lot of hard work, and it was really cool because me and my dad, we call my grandfather the GOAT. We call him Poppy, and he's just a, I mean, he's done it all. He went to college, played in college, played in the NFL, and I don't know if really anyone knows this. He was a boxer, really, and he was Mike Tyson's sparring partner for maybe a year or two.
I gotta find a picture.
no, it wasn't at times. He used to tell us about that all the time, but like he's the guy, man. And you know, me and my dad and my cousins and my brothers were trying to strive to be as good as our grandfather was. I mean, he did it. He went to NFL and played and you know, he was on top, and he's still working and doing his thing, and we still talk about it to this day. And he actually sent me a text after the game, and I was like, man, I'm just trying to get to where you was at, man.
What's the best Mike Tyson story you've got?
Just when my grandfather was talking about when they were sparring, he felt one punch to his body and really felt, obviously we know Mike Tyson has a lot of power when he's got uppercuts, right hooks and body punches. And, you know, he'll flinch and throw a body punch. and he felt one body shot, and it felt like a knockout punch, like to his ribs, and almost wanted to fall over and throw up. It was just, he was telling me how hard he hits the body, and I was like, yeah, I would not want to feel that.
Yeah, you'd have to pay me a lot of money to be Mike Tyson's sparring partner.
Man, absolutely.
Does it give you, how does it strike you that, here's your grandfather played at Kent State, did all that coming from the MAC. Is that a thing you ever think about, or is that just something that, you know, we think about as media types?
Yeah, I think it's cool because obviously a lot of MAC guys don't get the respect they deserve. And I feel like a lot of guys, you know, don't get the shots that I feel like they deserve from coming from the MAC level. So he's definitely an inspiration to me coming from Kent State. And then making it to the next level and doing his thing as long as he could. And then it definitely inspires me to follow my dream and try and make it here from Ball State.